You can embellish, it doesn't matter.
I never embellish.
No, you need to understand, in the realm of the spirit, there is such a thing as embellishment. You see something and God will actually begin to add and add and add and add, because he's an adder. He's a multiplier. So don't take embellish in the wrong word way, I mean. Hey, wow. I've had electricity flowing through me since I was driving here, and before, and when I got here, it was pretty powerful. I had an experience, gosh, it's been 20 years ago now, where a prophet called me up, and there was 300 people in the audience, and I was on the stage. And he said, God, fill him with fire. And I went down, and I was burning up. The electricity of God was flowing through me. It was just shocking me. And I was literally hot. And I knew everybody was looking at me. And so I was in the back of the stage, and after 15, 20 minutes, he just went preaching. I was rolling on the floor. You know the holy rollers? I was a holy roller.
Praise God.
I was rolling on the floor and shaking. And I just wanted to get out of the attention of everybody. And I would crawl over to a chair, and I'd start getting up on my knees, and he would turn around. Fire! Wham! Oh. Down I went again. Rolling and rolling and hot. I was going like this. I was so hot. He preached for an hour and a half. And every time I'd get to that chair, he'd turn around. He'd say, fire! Down I went again, rolling around again. And so when I step into a place when I'm more attuned, yes, and it's also something that's just in Jesus, you know, He does it all. I can't manufacture it. You know, you can't make it up. I guess you can fake it if you want to, but I know better. And just the electricity comes on me. There's electricity flowing through me right now. I know it's from God. And it gets to where I it's like if I want to raise my hands, it's like I get closer to the circuit. Watch. You ready? Watch. I'm not making that up.
Obvious.
And it's Jesus. Listen. The Lord showed me something today. And he told me, he said, I'm going to bring this house into a place of worshiping in spirit and in truth, in realms that they never have. And you're going to see some weird things. And they're going to be God. Now, you need to understand something, because you have to have understanding. Sometimes people will step into the realm of the flesh when the anointing of God hits them. And you'll have to discern between one and the other. Did not Jesus say there would be false teachers and false prophets that would come, and they would do signs? We're going to have to learn in this day, because Satan is going to release his power, but God is going to release his. And we better know the difference. Which means we better be connected to the right source and the hearing the right voice. So we have to give people mercy in the sense that sometimes the power of God will go on them, and there will be sometimes that there will be flesh. It's okay. If there's too much of it, I'll stand up and correct it gently. I was taught how to do that. But for the most part, you're just going to have to flow, because sometimes God's just going to move. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And wow. I'm listening to these songs, and it's like, I was praying last night. I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to go. I said, would you have the songs just help me? And one of the verses I cut off, because I cut off some verses here, and on my notes, one of them was from Job, and Job was talking about the yearning in his soul, and the same word as I'm going to talk about today, which is the kidneys and the seat of affections and emotions. And he was talking about yearning for God. We sang that today, didn't we? Listen, I don't remember all the words, but I wrote as much down as I could. I'm going to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion over you. Only you. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about dwelling in the midst of a God who is a consuming fire. And there's a people. This is the right day. This is the right hour. There have been people that have stepped into it in the past. They've only touched on it. There's going to be a generation that will walk in it. We're here. Today's the day. The generations are here. They're going to walk in the burning. We're going to talk about that. Don't want to get ahead of myself. There's going to be things happening. Things are going to change. And it's not because you're so special. But then again, it is. You need to understand, it's those who set their love upon him that Psalms 91 works for. It's those who set their love upon him that Psalms 91 works for. And so we're going to walk in a place where we're going to literally please him in everything that we do. And the Lord just opened this up to me. Here's some more lines. You ready? I give you my heart and my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath, every moment, I live for you. Have your way in me. And Paul said, pray without ceasing. I'm learning how to do that. I got a long ways to go, but I'm learning how to do it. But I'm learning how to do it because listen, if it says it in the Word, you can have it. Especially in this day. If it says it in the Word, you can have it. God is going to begin to multiply. He's going to, a lot of the promises that people have been claiming for years that we've not seen the answer for, they're going to happen in this day. This day has changed. This is the day of tabernacles, the feast of tabernacles. It's coming upon us. Okay? Tabernacles was the feast of ingathering. What I'm saying is there was Passover, which, thank God for, you can't get anywhere without Passover. And then there was Pentecost. And we're not we're not cutting off Pentecost because we're taking, what's that verse in Ecclesiastes, is chapter 7? It says you're gonna hold on what you've got, and then you're going to reach for that which God is doing and not let go of this. So we're not letting go of Passover and Pentecost. We're not letting go with what we've learned, both in the positive and the negative, by the way. We're not going to let go of that, but we're going to step into a new day. And with the foundation that we've got from these two feasts, we're going to step into this feast. And the Bible says in that day, there's going to be a latter rain and the former rain. It's going to be both. And he's going to come down and with the rain. What's it saying, Isaiah? Is it 48? Rain down your righteousness and truth will spring up from the earth. He's going to rain down his righteousness upon us. Okay, and it's going to be all him. Now, Thurman, when he was praying, he said, it's going to be for your name's sake. Because I've told you this more than once. God's going to do this for his name's sake. He's going to do it. And he's going to basically say, you know what? Y'all are a mess. And I'm going to take my love and my grace. I'm going to take my anointing. And I'm going to clean you up. Because there's so many scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New that he declares, this is what I'm going to do. And he's just going to do it. And now, my people will be willing in the day of my power. Psalms 110. Okay, they're going to volunteer freely. Because God is just going to do this. And you're going to say, okay, I'm here. And the only thing is going to be, okay. He's going to do everything else. And you're just going to learn how to flow with it. And what I'm going to talk about today is something that sets you in the place of putting yourself in the place so that he can use you. There's something that I'm learning in Scripture. Lord, just open my heart to this. I've been saying for years, you've heard me say this if you've been here. God gave you his righteousness so that you would become righteous. He made you a friend so that you would become his friend. He gave you light and made you light so that you would become the light. That's John 12:36. It's very clear. Well, you have the light, walk in the light, and become the light, he says. What's my point? The Lord spoke to me, it's probably been close to a year now ago, and he said, yeah, it's actually was a little bit over a year. It was in November last year. And he said, because I was asking him, what kind of questions, what questions should I ask of you? What things should I desire from you, God? What are you doing in your church, in me? What do I need to be asking for, God? And I just began to wait on the Lord, and he said, who is he who makes God his dwelling place? And I said, yeah, Lord, I know I'm your dwelling place because the Holy Spirit came into me and you dwell in me and you dwell in your church. And he said, an emphatic, no. And then he repeated the question again. And he said, who is he who makes God his dwelling place? And he emphasized that. And I thought when he dwelled in me, I was dwelling in him. You know, when I read Psalms 27 and it says, one thing I've desired of you, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life. You know, and one day with you is better than 1,000 elsewhere. There's other psalms that speak of that. The dwelling in the house of the Lord. And of course, I said, well, I'm the house of God. And God just basically, with that one question, said, nah, you don't have this right. I came and dwell in you, and now you have to dwell in me. I came and sanctified you, and now I want you to sanctify yourself. You got to hear this, okay? People want to declare, I'm sanctified and I'm blameless. You know what? You can say that all you want, but until I see it in your life, you haven't appropriated that which he gave you. So this is what we're after here. We're after not only declaring with your mouth, because so much I hear the body of Christ, I have been guilty of this, declaring things, and they don't even know what they're declaring. And they're not even walking in the nature of Jesus. It says in Hosea chapter 11. It says in Hosea chapter 11. After Daniel, Steve. It says this. Because of their own counsels, verse 7, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. In other words, they haven't put him first in their life. They're just calling on the name of the Lord. You go up to people and they say, how are you? I'm blessed. And then you hear them talking about their husband and cursing their husband who they divorced. And when you curse someone that you've seen that's done sin and you speak that sin, you literally hold them to that sin. The Bible says, bless and curse not. So when she was saying, I'm blessed, she was literally cursing herself when she was speaking against her husband. And saying what he used to be. She doesn't know that Jesus changed him. And if she'd have been praying and looking for that, he could have already done it. But yet she's holding him to his sin and keeping in his... There's life and death in the power of the tongue. We don't get it. The Lord is speaking to me more and more about it, but we still don't get it. There's so much that I still have to learn about it. Because James said in James 3, he said, if you keep your mouth... If you speak with your mouth and you don't sin, you're a perfect man. And he also said it's impossible except by the one who's going to do it, if we're willing to let him do it. So here we are. I want to talk to you today about kidneys and fat.
All right.
the title of the message is Kidneys and the Fat. Kidneys in the fat. You know, I would read the whole Bible through, and you get to Leviticus, Exodus and Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and there's some things you just want to skip over. They go through, you get into Leviticus, go to it. Leviticus 1, through. I just went through to chapter 10. And there's a couple portions that were highlighted in those first 10 chapters of Leviticus until the Lord showed me about the kidneys and the fat. And then I started going through, and then I started, because all of a sudden you begin to see peace offering. You begin to see even the offering for sin and the wave offerings and different offerings that you give, the consecration offering. All these offerings, it says, you take the kidneys and the fat, and the fatted lobe is by the liver, and you take the fat of the animal. And what do you do with it? It says you burn it before the Lord. And it says that it's a sacrifice to him, and it's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. But it's always the kidneys and the fat. Kidneys and the fat. Now, fat speaks of strength. We're not going to be able to do what God desires us to do in this day in our own strength. It's going to be impossible. So therefore, he's making us weak. So that we can, oh, this is good, so that we can walk in the power of God. Where's that at, Steve? Oh, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Jesus was crucified in weakness, and he lives by the power of God. And we too are weak, and we live by the power of God toward you. So the fat speaks of your own strength. I've spoken this before in Jeremiah 31, verse 18, in the King James Version. It says, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. And then it says, Ephraim was bemoaning himself, and he smote his thigh. And he said, I've been walking in wickedness, God, and I don't want to walk that way anymore. I give myself to you. And when he smote his thigh, that thigh is also speaking of strength. And he said, I've been walking in my own strength. I've been walking the wrong way. Turn me so that I can. Oh, wait a second. You know, when you have reins, James says in James 3 also, he said, the tongue is like, it's like a rudder, and it turns a great ship, even though the strong winds and everything else, and it, you can direct it by this small little rudder. He also says that the tongue is like the reins in a bridle in a horse's mouth, and you can turn it. You don't have to pull it hard, and it goes wherever it wants. He says, and your tongue is the same way. Does that mean that you can affect your life with what you speak out of it? Does that mean that 5 years from now, your whole life can be different because of what you say with your mouth now? Do you understand why in Numbers 6, verse 23 and 24 and 25, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord causes countenance to shine upon you, and he gives you his peace. Those are all in the now, by the way. It's not he's going to do this one day. This is now. Then he says, then you will invoke my name on the children of God. You can speak that over people that you're not even with at the time. Your children. Your relatives. Your neighbors. Doesn't the Bible say to bless and curse not? Don't you want their name to be in their hearts? Yeah, interesting. So here we are. Kidneys. Why in the world does God want the kidneys? Because that word, kidneys, there, when you get into the King James, and there's different scriptures, and we'll read them, the kidneys speaks of the inmost mind, seat of desires and affections. So, you know, in the New Testament, Paul would say, bowels of mercy. Okay, it also speaks of that in of Abraham as well. Okay, and they speak of the inward part. And is this what I long for? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is the foremost commandment. With all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I'm asking the Lord, would you show me what that means, God? I want to know how to love you. You know, if you loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what would you be doing? What would you be saying? And who would you be talking about? Think about that. Selah. I want to talk about him even more. So I began to look at who is he who makes God his dwelling place. I still don't know what that means. But the Lord keeps on, remember, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm going to bring you into rest. I'm going to give you this. A little here, a little there. I'm going to give this to you. And so he just keeps on adding to it because I've got all these scriptures. And one of them I was reading in Psalms 15. And it speaks about the dwelling place of the Lord. And who is he who dwells there? I don't think you have this one, Renee. I don't know that you have Psalms 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Goes on. Who is he who may abide in your tabernacle and dwell on your holy hill? Here it is. And then, you know, I was reading that because I would sit down at night and I would just begin to take, I've got scriptures printed out to where I can read. There's so many scriptures. You get to Psalms 27. There's so many scriptures, 84, I think, 89. There's different ones, 24. There's different one that speaks, who can abide? Who can stand on the hill of the Lord? In 24, it speaks of the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who can stand? So I'm reading Psalms 15. And in my Bible, the last verse in the last line says, he who does these things shall never be moved. And I got the word moved circled, and then it goes over to Psalm 16. And it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be moved. Doesn't it say somewhere that God's going to shake everything? But if you're in the right place, you won't be shaken? Doesn't Jesus talk about the fact that the storm is coming? And if you build your house on the right thing, the rock, you'll not be moved. I don't know. It's just interesting. But then I was reading because I saw that, and I went, and here's verse, that was verse 8. And verse 7 says, and this is Psalm 16, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. And when I looked at the word heart, in my Bible, it has a T on it. And it says, well, here's what this word means in the Hebrew. And it means mind, literally kidneys. My kidneys are instructing me in the night season? Yeah, they wake me up, so I got to go to the bathroom. And here I am, and I'm looking at this, and I say, kidneys. And when you look at it in King James, it translates that word as reins. The seat of your desires and your affections. And I looked at that and I began to say, reins, kidneys? And I remember hearing a man and he talked about the kidneys and the fat. And it was the reins of God. I said, oh, yeah. That's right, and I'd never studied it, you know. So I said, what's this mean here? Kidneys. So I began to look. In Exodus, it's 39, I think. There's one in 32. And it speaks of the sacrifices of God. This is the other key that we have to have. It's a sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you've given me. Behold, in the volume of the book, it's been written to me, I delight to do your will, O God. That's 10:5 of Hebrews. 5 and 6, I believe. It ties to Psalm 40, verse 6. I've taught that. I've taught you the fact that there's a book with your name written on it. In the volume of the book, Jesus was talking about the book that was written about him, which is this book, okay? And he had to fulfill everything in it. And that's why he would speak to his disciples. He said, put away your sword. Don't you know that this is in my book? Put the sword away. And then when they didn't believe, he said, didn't you see what was in my book? I told you in my book, it says I'm going to rise from the dead in 3 days. It was all in this book. You got a book too. I'm not talking about the book of life that your name is in, if you know Jesus. I'm not talking about that. There's a book with your name on it. You'll have to get that message, okay? So what are we saying here? This is incredible. Kidneys? And I go to Exodus, and I go to Leviticus, and here's a verse, and it's Leviticus 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks. And the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now you need to understand something here. I go to Isaiah 33. What's it say in Isaiah 33, verses 14, 15, 16? It says, Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Doesn't this say in Hebrews 12, our God is a consuming fire? Sometimes the Lord comes upon me, and all of a sudden the spirit of burning comes forth. And I declare things that are true. Because the angel of the Lord, it's an angel, by the way. Okay? Spirit of burning, it's a spirit. Okay? It's an angel, by the way. It's a spirit of burning, and he'll come on. And God wants to burn up sin in our lives. Why? Because he hates it. That's why. And his desire is that we hate it. Remember, I preached a message on that too. You can't love God unless you hate sin. The more you hate sin, the more you love God. Or maybe it's the more you love God, the more you hate sin. But you got to have both. You got to have both. You can't have just one. Oh, I just love God and everything's cool. No, you better do more than that. If you really love God, you would hate sin. And you would be going to the mercy seat and saying, God, you're revealing this. And now, because of the glory that's shining from your mercy seat, I want it all to be exposed, God. And I'm going to come willingly before you, God. And I'm going to say, God, would you turn around and take this from me? Turn me, oh God. And then the glory of God comes forth from that ark. And he burns it out of you. And then all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. And the only thing you did was saying, Lord, I'm willing. And I'm going to submit to you. And I'm not going to hide anymore. And the moment you do that, his glory comes. And then all of a sudden you get changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. That's how it works. I am so grateful that Jesus is teaching me. This is so cool. I love to be able to learn how to walk with God and be changed. Because I am a mess. But I see him changing me, and I see that he's making me a man of love. And it's like, oh, I don't even know what that means. But God, I keep seeing it because I see things happening. I've told you this before. All of a sudden, I find out about somebody, and I begin to weep and cry because they stepped back into sin. And I begin to weep and cry, and my heart is broken because of it. And I'm thinking, in the midst of my crying, I began to laugh. And I say, oh, that's so cool because I see he's changed my heart because I used to think, they're going to walk that way, they deserve it. And I don't think that way anymore. I think, God, there's a place, it's your mercy seat, and I'm going to lead them there. Do they have to stop what they're doing? Yes. Can he stop what they're doing? Yes. Lord, I want that authority to break that off of their lives so they don't have to walk that way anymore. Is it their choice? Yes. But so many people, if they were free, would choose to say, I want to keep walking this way. Break it. And then say, you got a choice now. Didn't Jesus say to the woman that was caught in adultery? He said, I don't condemn you, but what did he say? Go and sin no more. That's good, isn't it? Because the mercy seat was right there. Jesus is the mercy seat. Okay? Jesus is the one with the blood. Okay? And so he said, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. I give you an opportunity now to walk in a whole new path. That's right. Give me your kidneys and give me your fat. And learn how to walk with me now. Go and sin no more. Oh, that's good. I love that. So here's Leviticus. And so I can take you now to another 20, 30, 40, 50 verses to talk about the peace offerings. It's interesting. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we were healed. And it says that the peace of God was given because of what you paid for. We now have peace with God. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus brought peace to us. And the peace offering was a part of the kidneys and the fat. The kidneys and the fat and the peace offering, it comes up time and time again. Go to it. When you get home today after you've eaten, sit and just flip through Leviticus 1 through 10 and take a little yellow. These things are really good. They're a gel, and they work really good. And you just mark every place where it says burn with fire and peace offering and kidneys and fat. And then all of a sudden, you'll actually have Leviticus marked, and you'll say, man, This is an accomplishment. I've never marked the Leviticus before because I just skip through it as best I can. And then you look at that and say, wow, this is red, yellow. Let me look at this again. And then God will convict your heart and say, I'm after your kidneys and your fat, and I want to burn them. Why in the world do you think that those three men that were thrown into the fire weren't burned? Who can stand with everlasting burnings? Because they had already given Jesus the kidneys and the fat. They walked that way. They said, here are my reins. You take over. This is good. You want to know how to die to self? I'm telling you what this is about. You want to know when Jesus said, you got to lay down your life in order to have my life, Zoe? In order to have Zoe, the life of God, you've got to lay down your life. What is it? The seat of your affections and your desires. You give them to him. You always, constantly, what? I give you my heart and my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, have your way in me. I hate when I hear this scripture because people quote it wrong all the time and it bugs me. He must increase and I must decrease. That's not what the Bible says. Because if you put a must in a decrease, you're automatically going back to the law and trying to figure it out yourself. So it says, he must increase, I decrease. Why? Because I'll just let him do it. And it's not me doing it, which means I can't get proud of one thing that he's done. Because it's all him. Paul says, look, he said, I worked harder and more than all the other apostles. He said, it wasn't me, though. It was the grace of God that was working in me. So therefore, when I declare it, Lord, you must increase. I don't have to try to decrease. I don't have to try to decrease. This is so good. You ought to be jumping up and down. This is so good. You don't have to try to decrease. Just let him increase. Fall more in love. The more you fall in love, the more you'll hate sin. The more you'll hate sin, the more you won't sin. The more you won't sin, the more he increases. The more you decrease. But you got nothing to do with it except, I'm just going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to love you. I'm going to keep on loving you. I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, when there's that song that comes out, I surrender all, everything that I am, I give to you, you're going to surrender everything. And guess what's going to happen a year from then, or 2 years from then, or maybe the next month? God will shine his light on something else. So is this not a journey of the light coming and him taking and you decreasing because he's increasing because you submit to his light and you step into the Ark of the Covenant and you step into the glory and you say, oh, Lord, change me in that area too. And he says, okay. Man, he says, I like this. And I say, yeah, I like it too. Can we hang out some more? He says, sure, I'm always available. In fact, as you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near you. We can get really close. So much so, Jesus said, eternal life is to know the Father, the one true God, and his Son whom he sent. That know is an epikinosko. It's a deep, intimate knowing. Jesus said, John 17:3, that's eternal life. Oh, I got saved and I have eternal life. Oh, that's not what Jesus said. Once you got saved, that's just a starting point. Jesus turned around and he gave you his spirit and he saved your spirit and you were born again. You're now a new creation. Now you start like walking like a new creation. And you're going to continue to walk and continue to surrender and continue to walk and be cleansed because that's what he's after. He's after you giving more and more of your kidneys and your fat to him. And the more you present it to him, what happens? He burns it up. He burns it up. And then all of a sudden you say, wow, this is cool. There's a new place for me. I'm stepping into a new place. And you think it's cool. And then all of a sudden he'll shine his light on something else. Why in the world would you run from it? Because he loves you. And his love is there. He doesn't want you to remain the same. He wants you to continue to grow into the image of the Son. So the more you go in, the more you grow up. The more he increases, the more you automatically decrease. You got to give up your kidneys. You got to give up the fat. It's all him. It can't be you. That's the reason why God has to break us in order to release the Spirit of God. Your soul has got to be in the reins of the hands of God. Your reins have got to be in the hands of God. We're going to get to this. This is really good. Okay? Remember I said Psalms 18, I think it's verse 35. It says, your gentleness has made me great. This is good. Oh, I'm already here. Hosea chapter 11. This is so good. We've talked about the reins. Let's go to the other verse. Ready? It's here. Look at Psalm 7:9. It says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Look, you don't have to look at somebody else and say they're wicked. God, let them come to the end. Let's look at the wickedness in my life. Let's look at the wickedness in our lives. Let's look at the wickedness in us. And let's say, Lord, let it come to an end. Let it come to an end. Decrease. Come to an end. Okay? But establish the just. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about standing and being established. Establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. And that's kidneys. It's kidneys. He tests your reins. Who's got your reins? Okay? Proverbs 5:21-23. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Wow. Cords of his sin. I've always wanted to understand the cords. There's in Ecclesiastes, it speaks of a silver cord. I don't get that yet, but I'm going to. When he's ready, he'll show me. But all I'm saying is the reins, this man in Proverbs 5, this wicked man, had his own reins. And he went after the lust of his heart, the desires and the seat of his affections. And instead of putting his affections on God and Jesus, he put them on the lust of his heart, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Here, then we get to Hosea 11, verses 1 through 4. This is so good. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them, and as they called them, there means the prophets called. And they went; they wouldn't obey the prophets. What it's speaking of here, okay? They sacrificed to Baals. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. They began to sacrifice Baals, began to go after, they took their own reins, and they began to go after the lust of their flesh, okay? And then it says they burn incense to carved images. And then it says, verse 3, get this. I taught Ephraim to walk. Remember when you teach most of us as grandchildren now. But remember when you taught your children to walk, what'd you do? It says, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck, and I stooped and fed them. We're talking about breaking the chains. Isaiah 10, the anointing breaks the yoke. Now, there's another twist to that. Okay, because that in that scripture in Isaiah 10, I think it's verse 27, it says that the yoke will be broken, but in the Hebrew it says you will actually grow fat and you will grow strong and you will be able to take the yoke off. So let's keep this in mind. Okay, there's some yokes. You see, you've got to walk in a certain way so that you can take the yoke off. Because what you do is you give your reins to God. You give him the fat and you give him the kidneys. And then what he does is he calls blessing to come to your life. And you get fat and you get strong in him. And you can break that yoke off because he's always going to be there to help you. And it's going to be him doing it anyway. Because it's his anointing that's in you. Because the anointing is the glory that comes from the mercy seat. You see? This is so good. And so he's training us to walk and holding our hands and teaching us to walk. And then he says, I've got cords of love here. Now you got a choice. You can either take the reins yourself, or what Jesus said was you lay down your life and take, and when you die, dying is giving him the reins. Giving him your kidneys and your fat. And then what you do is he's going to direct you by his love. You can either be the servant of sin and the slave of sin, or you can be the servant or slave of righteousness. You got your choice. You see how it connects to everything? This is so good. The kidneys. Whoever thought kidneys were that important? And I'm looking at the kidneys and the fat, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, wow, this is good. Gentle cords, cords of love. You can either have the cords of sin that lead you to destruction, or you can have the cords of love that leads you into his glory, into his presence, into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and there's other places where it says that you can't even imagine the goodness and everything that I'm going to do for you. And we have a short time on this earth. If it's 50 years, some of us, it's 20 years. If it's 50, 60, 70, 120, it doesn't matter. That's still a short time based upon eternity. And God gives us this amount of time to learn how to give him the reins. And the more we give him the reins, the more he's going to use us. Because in 2 Timothy, I don't know if it's chapter 1 or 2. I think it's chapter 2. It says there's vessels of honor and dishonor. And he says, if you cleanse the dishonor, if you cleanse yourself, you'll be a vessel of honor so that you can be used by the master. It gets so far into it because the Lord spoke this to me. I don't get this yet, but he spoke this to me in Psalms 32, verse 8. He said, I'm going to guide you with my eye. He said, don't be like the horse and the mule that have to have a bit in their mouth. How many times have I prayed, said, God, make me do it. Lord, would you help me with this? Lord, would you make me do it? And I didn't give him the reins. I just want him to. You see what I mean? Wrong prayer. So he's going to get to the place to where the reins, you're going to be walking in the love of God so much. That's why Jesus said, they'll know you by the love that you have for one another. That's why when you get into 2 Thessalonians 3, it says that you're going to increase and abound in love because that's going to bring you to being holy, blameless in holiness before the Lord. That's what love does. And the more we love each other, the more we love God. Don't tell me you love God if you don't know how to love your brother. But here's the thing. If we don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and give him the reins, we can do social justice crap all the time. And we can work and we can go and we can love people and we can do all these good deeds and we can feed all the homeless all we want and nothing happens. And they're not changed. Why? Because you got it backwards. You think that the act of doing something is love, and it's not. If it's not in God, if God doesn't move your heart because you're walking in his love, because you gave him your reins, it is foolishness to go out and do all this stuff. Now, are you saying don't do it? No, I'm saying do it in the right way. And it's not, I think God is going to raise up social warriors that is going to be absolutely incredible, but they're going to do it in the love of God, do it by that God has his reins. And they're going to do it because they're standing in the midst of fire. And when fire, you walk in the midst of fire, it burns up all the bonds. What happened to those three that got thrown into the fire? What happened to the bonds that was around them? They were free. And fire breaks off bondages because it's the fire of God. We're not talking about physical fire. We're talking about the fire of God. And all I'm saying is God's desire for us is to give him the kidneys and the fat. In other words, the seat of our desires and our affections are after him. And the more we learn how to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, isn't that interesting? That's the kidneys and the fat. In Mark, I think it's Mark 10, talks about that. The other ones, Luke and Matthew, don't. It says heart, mind, and soul. But in Mark 10, I think it's heart, mind, soul, and strength. So he's actually talking about the kidneys and the fat. You got to love God with all that. And how do you love God with all of it? You just give it to him. And the more you fall in love with him, the more he burns up. And it's a sweet smelling. Because sacrifices and offerings, I don't desire. The Bible says that God owns your body. And it says that God owns your spirit if you're born again. That means the only thing left is your soul. And that's what you have to give to God. That's what Jesus was clear over. You got to die in order to have Zoe, in order to have my life. And once you die and you have his life and you're loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then what happens is you begin to love yourself. And as you love yourself, then you can love others. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love others as you love yourself. Because if you're loving yourself and you don't like yourself, what are you going to do to them? I'm telling you, it's backwards. It's absolutely backwards. It's got to be the right way. It's got to be the first and foremost commandment. Walk and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's just going to be an increase. He's going to increase, you're going to decrease. Why? Because that's the way it works in the kingdom. And as that happens, then you begin to love yourself. No, I haven't. I haven't heard this preached by anybody, and I know what I'm saying is true. You got to love yourself. And the only way you love yourself is to love him with everything in you. And it's going to increase. I already said it's going to increase. Okay? We already talked about that. And you're going to be changed from glory to glory. You're going to keep walking in that. And the more that you walk in that, the more you love yourself, the more you'll be able to give yourself to others and love them as Christ loved you. Because that's the image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. These are scriptures here. I'm just telling you. These are come up hither verses. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, speaking of different ones, and he says, you teach them what you learned from me. Wait a second, shouldn't he be said, you teach them what Jesus said? That's not what he said. He said, you teach them and establish them in what you've learned from me. Because you've walked with me and I'm walking like Jesus. And so therefore you just practice. Why in the world did Jesus say, go and make disciples of all nations? What do you think making disciples is? Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to show you how to walk with Christ. And then what's going to happen is you're going to be a believer. And then you're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to cleanse the lepers. But you're going to have that authority because I've taught you how to walk and be a disciple. And disciple is you're walking in the light of God. And you're walking in the fire of God. And you're standing because you've been established in the love of God. Why does it say, isn't it in Song of Solomon it says that love is stronger than death? That's pretty powerful. We can't go there. I don't have time for that. Isn't it interesting? And so I want to end with this. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or your rational service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't take up the reins, and don't go after the wrong things, but be transformed. Of course, that word is metamorpho, right? Which is metamorphosis. Which is you're being literally changed from one type of being to another. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, because everything's tied to Him having the reins, Him directing your life, and you're walking more and more. I had other verses I can't get into, but you look at Proverbs. I mean, my goodness, it says, walk this way. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. There's so many scriptures that don't walk this way, walk this way. This is wisdom. Why in the world do you think I'm praying for the fear of the Lord? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. You can't have love until you have the fear of God. Just telling you. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin, which means you got to love God. Fear of the Lord leads you into loving God. That's just one of His ways. That's just what it is. Look at this. I already went over those scriptures. Isaiah 33. The sinners in Zion are afraid. This is 14 through 16. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Wait a second. You got to connect scriptures together. The Word of God actually interprets itself. Our God is a consuming fire. What's He consume? Flesh. If you're not holy, you'll not see the Lord. The Bible's clear on that. Look at Hebrews 12. He does all these things, and He brings discipline in your life and correction in your life and breaking in your life for one thing, so that you begin to walk in holiness. Why? Because He wants you to give Him the kidneys and the fat so that it can be burned, so that the sweet-smelling savor and an aroma to Him, because that's what He wants to smell and see in your life. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Wow. Shall we go into that? We don't have time. The Lord has basically told me, He said, you quit watching those movies that got the killing. You quit watching those movies where all that this wickedness is going on. You quit watching that stuff. He said, because when you do, He said, you actually are eating filth from the enemy, and it's destroying your life. I said, whoa. Can't watch most of what I see on TV. You know, you can watch Gomer Pyle. Andy Griffith. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be with the fortress of rocks. Who's the rock? Bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. This is an establishment, and this is something that is a daily walk. It's something that is, listen, you were brought and set in this earth in order to give him the reins and learn how to be led by him in order to be a vessel of honor, so that you can do whatever the master desires. That's what he called you to. And you've got to do it while you're here. Because if you're doing it while you're here, if you die before he comes back, then you'll actually be able to rule and reign with him. But if you don't, how many people did all these good works? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? But they never had given him the reins. He said, depart from me, those who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is taking up the reins of your own heart. And you're trying to love people in social justice when you haven't learned to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm telling you, it's the wrong way to go. The right way to go is to do the foremost commandment. And as you do that, the second commandment will take care of itself. Because the more you love God, the more you love yourself, the more you begin to reflect who he is, which means you can turn around and give, and you can do all those things, and he's going to say, come, because I know you, because I see me in you, because I see love in you. God's called us to be a house of prayer and a house of love. You can't, prayer is communion with the Father. So we got to know him. And the more we know him, the more we love him, the more his love comes to us, the more we change lives. I mean, that's why Jesus said, this kind does not come out without prayer, and some versions say, and fasting. It's a giving of your life to God that all of a sudden he opens up the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. And there's certain things that will literally be broken off of you because you will grow, and the fat of God will come on you, and it'll be him. And all of a sudden, you walk away from things. It happens both ways. God, we just pray in the name of Jesus that we just give you our kidneys and our fat, God. We want to learn how to love you with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. The seed of our desires and our affections, our inmost being, belongs to you, God. We want to give it to you, God. And we ask you by your Spirit that we can stand in the midst of fire. We can be those people who not only had the bonds broken off, but we break the bonds off of others by fire, which is the fire of your love and is stronger than death. And death cannot hold them. God, we just thank you for revelation and understanding. And I pray that today, that these folks that are in this house, the folks that hear this message, will be reminded to bless and curse not, and to learn how to just give you everything and learn that it's all you. Remind us, oh God, this week to pray in the Holy Ghost. Remind us, oh God, to just continue praying and to seek your face. And remind us, oh God, how to love others. And help us to love ourselves, Jesus, as we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Weird message, wasn't it?
No.
Kidneys and fat.